At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of A Better You. I'm your host, Fernanda Ramirez, and welcome back to another episode. I am glad to have you on here, glad to have you listening, and I am feeling very excited for today's episode. I'm feeling a little bit of an energetic rush. A source of creativity just flew in me, which is why the episode is titled Ways to Be Creative Alone and Finding Your Unique Creative Expression and Practicing Creativity. Now, you may be wondering, why did I stumble across this idea? And to be honest, the truth is because I have been reading this book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being, and it is a book all about creativity, and I suggest all people that consider themselves creatives, even though everyone's technically creative, but if you consider yourself a creative, it's probably extra, like something that you need to read, you need to pick up. But anyways, I've been reading it for the past 3 days and it's definitely got my creative juices flowing. So I thought, what better episode to make this week than an episode all focused on creativity? Creativity is something that is very important to me. It is very authentic to me. And I have been a creative child ever since I could remember. In fact, if you didn't know this about me, I actually wanted to start my first YouTube channel as a DIY channel. That simply did not follow through for embarrassing stories and purposes and reasonings that I will not go into just yet. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyways, being creative is something that I've identified with for a very long time. And so I'm excited to talk about this topic, go into it. And I've found a number of ways to approach this topic so that we have a long, fun, interesting episode, and one that I hope you will learn a lot from by the end of this. It will definitely give you inspiration, definitely give you a little push to explore your own creative abilities, your creative boundaries, and I want to talk to you guys about some of the things I've learned in the book, as well as my own, I guess, reflections while I've been reading it, and definitely some more ideas on how you can practice creativity and just hobbies, I feel like, for this summer or for winter, whatever season you're in. The day that I'm filming this episode, okay, I have had all day to film this podcast. I actually woke up with the sense of urgency that I needed to film this, but something about me is that for some reason I need things to go in a particular order and I need to feel like perfect before I start something. I don't know what that means about me. I don't know what that says about me, but it's like I need to feel like the vibe is right. And sometimes when I wake up flustered in the morning, a little bit tired, I'm like, the vibe is just not yet. I just can't do it yet. So, you know, I woke up this morning, I started reading my book, I was on my patio, I was tanning, I'm like, wow, this is great, life is amazing. And then I was like, well, how am I gonna start my work unless I like have energy? So I decided to eat, and then I decided to order coffee. And then I was like, wait, should I go inside and shower? And then I was like, no, I'm gonna wait till my coffee arrives here, then I will proceed. So my coffee and my food came, it was delicious, it was great. And then I was like, if I'm already sweaty, instead of showering, why don't I just hit the gym? So then I went to the gym, then I finally showered, then I did my hair, then I did my makeup, then I started talking to ChatGPT. Guys, this is completely unrelated, but I have an obsession with ChatGPT. I actually treat it as my own therapist, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but you can like actually tell it your problems and it will come up with actionable steps for you to follow through or like work through it. Anyways, as a chronic yapper, a yapper that yaps on their own, discovering that ChatGPT has a voice control feature where you can talk to it and it talks back to you, this could be concerning for the yappers in your life because they will never shut up now knowing that somebody will be answering their constant speaking and all the thoughts that go through their head throughout the day. But anyways, then I got caught in a procrastination state where I couldn't stop using ChatGPT. Anyways, moral of the story, it is now 6:22 p.m. and I have my brother's birthday dinner at 7 p.m. And girl, I need to leave at 6:45. So my point of this was all to say that I did so many things today that was not filming the podcast. And now I have like no time and I'm like trying to film it during the daylight. And it's like, girl, you gotta leave. So what I'm thinking is I'm gonna film the first half of this podcast right now. And then I'm gonna go for my dinner and then film the rest of it later. Anyways, that was a long-winded story to tell you about what my day's been looking like. And I guess what the past few days have been looking like, because I have been spending the past few days is focusing on my self-care and my mental health, just being there for myself. I feel like I've been saying this for the past few episodes, and for some reason it just hasn't gotten better, but I've been saying like, oh, I've just been going through kind of a lot in my personal life. I feel like things have been kind of down, and every week I hope it's the last week, but it wasn't much better this week. And again, not in a way that you need to be concerned, but more of just like random little things in my life have been going on that have been stressing me out and making me overwhelmed. Therefore, I needed another batch of self-care days. I'm hoping that that's the last of the weird vibes in the air. I'm actually praying there was some sort of Mercury in retrograde, because other than that, I don't know why the vibes have been a little bit off. The past few days, I have been walking around, going to the beach, eating alone, like in a good way, like going to cute little coffee shops and like just being in nature, going to the gym, going to the sauna, reading, what else? Seeing some of my friends. Oh my gosh, actually, I just got a little bit of a reminder that I just watched the movie Inside Out 2, and I don't want to speak too much about it yet because I actually want to make a whole podcast episode about it. Like, not actually, but if you guys watched my video on evolving from girlhood to womanhood, that episode was inspired off of watching the Barbie movie, and watching Inside Out 2 gave me that same feeling of inspiration that I want to create an episode on it, but I almost want to watch it like one more time before I do that. So anyways, I will talk more in-depthly about my experience with watching that movie maybe in next week's episode. Anyways, that is what my days have been looking like, and I'm hoping for good days on the horizon. It's almost the end of June. July is gonna start soon, and I just have a lot of plans already for July and August, so I'm excited to move forward and see where the summer takes me. But anyways, let's dive into today's episode. We are talking about creativity. To start off with this episode, I wanted to provide a nice little definition of what creativity means. It says here online, creativity is the ability to generate new ideas, solutions, or concepts that are original and valuable. It involves thinking outside of the box and making connections between seemingly unrelated things. Creativity can manifest in various domains, such as art, science, technology, and everyday problem solving. It often requires imagination, open-mindedness, and a willingness to take risks and explore new possibilities. Creative thinking can both be spontaneous and structured, and it is a key driver of innovation and progress in many fields. So, there was a long-winded explanation of what creativity is, and I think it's important to note that a lot of the times, people say to themselves, I'm not a creative person, I don't have those creative juices, or you might credit someone to being more creative than you, but at the end of the day, creativity is just being able to generate new ideas, and you are creative day-to-day without even realizing it. You know, putting a pen on a paper and drawing something magnificent is not that different than coming up with new routes to get to work, or figuring out where you want your furniture to go in your home. There are so many ways that we are creative without even thinking about it, and I think it's time we give ourselves more credit for the creativity that we do daily, and a little bit more appreciation for the way that we express ourselves, and consider it creativity rather than just like, oh, that's just how I do things. So for one, I definitely think that throughout this episode, I want you to think of yourself while I go through all these different aspects of creativity and picture yourself in these scenarios and how you are actually creative day to day, and give yourself a little pat on the back for that creativity and a little bit more appreciation, because you don't want it to go unnoticed. There are so many different forms of creativity that you wouldn't consider all the time or that you simply forget, and I want to go through the list of ways that you can be creative so that you have an idea of them first, and then I want to go through all of them and give you ideas on how you can harness this creative energy through these specific acts. And I also want to tell you guys personal stories of how I in the past have used these hobbies or activities to practice my own creativity, and just like how that has manifested. Starting off with the first one, we've got artistic creativity. I feel like this is the one that comes to people's mind most often. This could be painting, drawing, sculpture, and any other sort of visual arts. Some other ways that you can practice this style of creativity is through painting, doodling. Some other examples that came to my mind when I thought about this was vision boards, which I feel like isn't one that you think of straight away, but that is something that I personally love to do. I always make vision boards whenever it's the start of the year, or you know, when I'm trying to envision a new future for myself. I especially love printing out these photos and creating like collages. I think that is so much fun. Just using scissors and tape and using your pen or whatever, just making it your own. That is something that I love to do. A little backstory on me. I was actually in art classes ever since I can remember, and it was so much fun. I remember having like all the art supplies there, learning how to draw, drawing people. It was just such a fun and very inclusive way to learn how to draw. It was so much more fun than just like learning it off of a YouTube video or learning on your own, which is still totally valid. But being in that classroom setting was so fun for me, honestly, and gave me more structure and more purpose, knowing that usually you had assignments or like a certain type of art that you were all trying to create. I was also in community art classes. I also practiced art all throughout like elementary school, high school, middle school. I remember in elementary school, one of my teachers would let us do clay, and I have a very strong memory of her actually. And then in high school, I took art class, and it was fun to practice with different mediums. Those are some different ways that you can practice creativity and how this sort of creativity has been in my life ever since I was really young. Three of my closest friends have recently really been into exploring their artistic creativity, and I want to talk about each of them and how they're doing this. The first one of my friends is really into making cards for other people, and I feel like she found her perfect little niche here because she loves painting with watercolor or acrylic paints, and she has just become known, I guess, within my friend group that she makes really great cards, and it's such a meaningful and easy gift to make someone that will go such a long way because it's so intentional, it is so sweet, it is so creative, and even if it was bad, I would appreciate it just off the fact that she made it with her own hands and took the time to do it. If that gives you guys any inspiration, definitely learn how to make cards for people, make them feel loved, make them feel special, and I feel like if you're new to making art, making it for other people or with purpose is a little bit more fun than just doing it for the fun of it, and it doesn't even need to be that good because people would appreciate it regardless. My other friend has recently gotten into creating her own journals and diaries. Like, she literally made a journal from scratch, and I mean actually from scratch. Like, she binded the pages together and made the front and back cover out of, I think it was like baby diaper packages or something like that. I don't even know. And then she got a bunch of different fabrics and glued them all on. She made little pockets. She made like a little bookmark out of like string and attached a charm to it. Anyways, she made this for one of my other friends, and literally I would pay like $200 for this, which is why we even gave her the idea, like, you should start a small business. You really need to like use this creative power that you have and like make this for other people. Which, side note on that, sometimes even though you can totally monetize off of your creativity, it can have like a negative side to it where it just becomes like a job and it becomes tedious and you don't end up wanting to do it. But such a great side hustle these days. Anyways, and my third friend, she, I feel like, is a very peaceful person, and she wanted to try a new form of creativity and I guess self-expression. And so she ordered all of the tools to get into painting, and she ordered a bunch of acrylic paints and the canvases, and she's just really been into that recently. So anyways, those are three of my friends who have personally been trying to expand their artistic creativity, and it's definitely inspired me to get more into it because I used to love drawing as well, and I feel like I need to get more into it. Like, why have I not drawn anything in a very long time? One way that I used to love practicing my artistic creativity was through making miniature clay sculptures. Like, I was obsessed with polymer clay, and that's genuinely what I wanted my YouTube channel to be of when I was in like grade 6. So I actually bought a whole bunch of different polymer clay packages like a year ago, and I wanted to create like a miniature house. I think I've talked about it in a podcast episode before. Unfortunately, I didn't follow through with it, but I still have all that equipment. So I think I'm gonna pull it out after I organize my home because it's still super packed. But I think I'm gonna pull it out and start making little fridge magnets. I think that would be so adorable, so cute, and definitely a way to feel like the art that I'm creating is purposeful. Again, not that it needs to be, but sometimes it feels more productive when you have somewhere for it to go or someone to give it to, or like you just have like an assignment attached to it. I don't know. That could be my own toxic way of thinking about art, but like for me, that's what works. But I highly recommend you to join an art class if you feel like you want to get more in touch with this side of yourself, or if it's something you used to do as a child. It would definitely make your inner child feel blossomed, and just you kind of remember what you truly are like when you do something that you used to do as a child. So that is actually inspiration for me to sign up for an art class or a sculpting class or clay class, whatever it is. I definitely want to do that for myself. Okay, I'm picking up this video where we left off. So if there's any awkward or change in sound or visuals for those watching, that is why. But let's continue on and let's talk about the second form of creativity, which is literary creativity. This encompasses writing novels, poetry, and other forms of literature. When I first heard this, immediately I knew I don't really think I participate in this type of creativity that often, although one way that it came to my mind in a way that I would participate, I think, is in journaling. And I do think that there is a form of creativity when you are journaling if you're thinking of certain journal prompts, and maybe you have a little bit more of a structured writing that isn't just like free flow, even though I guess that's also creativity because you're kind of coming up with ideas and concepts. I also thought a way that you can practice this is by doing like a Wreck-It journal or one of those journals where you're more writing fun stuff in there. And I was thinking even writing like poems such as haikus, which I haven't done since I was literally in high school. I feel like that's an easy way to practice poetry or this sort of literary creativity. Just the other day, actually, my friend told me that she was writing a book for fun. So she was kind of just creative writing and she was having so much fun with it. And she's like, wait, why do I not do this more often? Like, I forgot that this was an option. Anytime you can open up your computer and start writing away whatever story or literally just your imagination. The third form of creativity is musical creativity. So this involves composing music, playing instruments, and songwriting. And honestly, I am so jealous of the people that know how to do this because I have never been a songwriter. I don't even think I've ever tried. And I feel like I would be humbled. Low key. But I will say, I do love singing, and I feel like that has some sort of creative skill to it, maybe? I don't know. Back in the day, I used to do piano classes, although I quit because I would never want to practice. And I also did ukulele and like a freaking flute in school, but I feel like that doesn't really count since it was in school. But as an adult, if you know how to play an instrument, I feel like that is such a cool and unique skill to have, and one that immediately gives you aura points. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, that just seems cool when an adult knows how to play an instrument. And I think it's especially impressive when you learn it in your adulthood because it is harder to pick up skills like that. It says a lot about you if you do know how to play an instrument at an older age. Next up, we have culinary creativity, which pertains to creating new recipes and innovating cooking techniques, which I don't think I fall into this category, but I do love baking. I love decorating, and I have made a bunch of cakes in the past, and, you know, making the icing, decorating it all cute is super fun to do, and I don't do it enough, so that's definitely something I want to do more often. I think another way that we may do this without realizing is whenever we make bowls, whether that be yogurt bowls, yogurt parfaits, acai bowls. Another idea that I had for you, which is just a little bit sidetracked from this conversation, but I feel like something that would be so fun to do this summer is to create your own crumble cookies. So you can make your own cookies and decorate each of them individually. I feel like that is so fun to do. And since crumble cookie just came to my area, it's like all the rave these days. Like, everyone is going to crumble cookies. So I don't know. I feel like that's super fun for the people around me, and I would love to do that. The next type of creativity is scientific creativity, which involves developing new theories, conducting experiments, and making discoveries. Again, I don't think I use this sort of creativity enough, and I feel like I should. If you guys have any suggestions on how to practice scientific creativity, or if you think you do, definitely let me know in the comments. I would be so interested in hearing about that. Next up, we've got entrepreneurial creativity. It involves generating business ideas and innovative products. This is, I think, one of my favorite forms of creativity. If you guys knew how many Pinterest boards I have of like potential business ideas I had that are in private, you would be like, damn, girl. But I just find it so fun, and honestly, I think it is one of my callings. I'm always generating ideas in this sort of field, I guess. I think for me, just having like a little journal where you just write out your brain dump, your ideas, is so helpful and useful so that you can just put whatever's in your mind onto paper. Also, having Pinterest boards and Notion boards and just writing out all your ideas, it always makes me so inspired and keeps me looking forward to the future for all the potential business opportunities that could come my way. Then we have technological creativity, which involves designing new softwares, hardware, and other tech innovations. I feel like this is really cool because you often wouldn't think of this as being a form of creativity, but it definitely is, especially those people that make websites. Those ones have a little bit more of an obvious artistic side to them because you can see the aesthetics and the appeal, but I mean, my dad's a software developer, so, you know, when he's doing all that code and stuff, there's some creativity involved there too. I feel like this isn't the exact same thing, but I feel that a way I kind of incorporate this sort of creativity in my life is by editing, learning how to edit, trying different styles, whether that's on my phone or Final Cut Pro. I feel like that is definitely a way that I incorporate that into my life. And then the last form of creativity is performing arts creativity. This encompasses acting, dancing, and other performance-based arts. I haven't done this in so long, and it kind of makes makes me a little bit sad because I feel like it's something I used to do a lot when I was younger. My mom will not live it down. That one time when I was in like grade 6, I did a summer course for drama and I was the lead, and she's always like, Fernanda, you should go into acting. And I'm like, I just don't know if that's exactly my calling, although I would love to try it and I feel like I could potentially be good at it. You know, you never know what you could be good at. But I'm always like, I don't know. My mom's like, do you remember when you were the lead? And I'm like, girl, I was like 10 years old and it was like a summer camp lead role. Like, I don't think that's the same thing as actually trying acting. But you never know. Maybe I have a little bit of acting potential in me. But anyways, that's the only time that I can remember doing acting. But I remember in that class we had like improv and I really liked doing that. Other than that, I mean, cheerleading and gymnastics is kind of a performance in itself when you are performing for the judges and you're just like up there doing your thing, dancing. That was super fun. But if you do some sort of performing arts, I think it is so fun to show off your skills to the people watching. And even when I started doing ballet as a joke, well, it wasn't actually a joke. I started it for fun in like January. I only went to like 4 classes and I probably should go again because I bought all the supplies. But when I was doing it, what was kind of driving me was like...
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Like, oh, if I keep this up, like maybe there's like some sort of performance. And I found that to honestly be enticing to me as to why I should keep going, just because I think it's fun to get dressed up and show your abilities to the world. So anyways, those are all the different forms of creativity. There is literally so much in each form. And I hope that just by listening to all these different examples, you can kind of open your mind up to all the different possibilities of ways that you can incorporate creativity in your life. And honestly, listening to all these different ways that you can be creative might have just lit a spark inside of you to think to yourself, I am creative. I do practice creativity. I am creative day to day. Just because I don't paint and do art doesn't mean that I'm not creative in my tech field. I think it'd be super cool to make a little list on your notes app or just on paper and think about all the ways that you are creative in your life currently and ways that you would like to be creative, so then you can incorporate those ideas and also give yourself that pat on the back for the ways that you are creative day to day. I forgot to mention one. When I was looking online and I was looking for forms of creativity, those were the most popular ones that I found. But I was thinking to myself, there must be a form of creativity in like talking. I don't know why. I feel like because I talk a lot and I have this podcast, I'm like, I feel like there must be like another level of creativity in that. And I actually did find it. It says online that talking or engaging in conversations can be a form of creativity. Conversations often involve the spontaneous generation of ideas, the use of imaginative language, and the creation of new insights through dialogue. And some specific examples on how this counts as creativity. The first one is storytelling. This is crafting narratives and sharing experiences in an engaging way. Of course, one of my favorite, that's why I have a podcast. Number two is improvisation. I think that's how you say that. I don't know why it sounds weird when I say it, but this is thinking on your feet and responding to new topics or questions creatively. I think podcasting has also made me a very good improviser in speech because it is a skill that you need to learn how to do to talk about a certain topic for an extended period of time on your own. I remember when I started my podcast, I was like, how am I gonna do a solo pod and just talk about one thing for like 45 minutes? Like, I don't know how. And now I genuinely feel like you could tell me to talk about a pear for 45 minutes and I could think of a million different ways on how I could talk about it and different approaches to it, different like creative ways that it somehow applies to you, different creative ways about the pear in itself. Like genuinely, I could talk about nothing for so long, and that is a skill to be good at. And I also feel like that helps you day to day when you are conversing with new people, strangers, maybe in a job that requires a lot of communication, or even if you're like at the bar with your friends and you just feel like having a crazy random improvised conversation with a stranger, that's a helpful skill to have. It also says here, problem solving, so collaborating to generate innovative solutions. I feel like this is great for group projects or just working with coworkers in general. And the last one is expressive language, using metaphors, analogies, and descriptive language to convey ideas. Now we've talked so much about the forms of creativity, I've yapped for a minute, but I want to give you guys some more tips for creativity and how I generate ideas and how I feel like I aid my creative juices when I need to let them flow. As I said at the beginning of this episode, I have been reading The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. This book has given me so many ideas on how I can use my creativity and generate new ideas. And that book in itself was the reason for why this episode even came to life. So I feel like that kind of just shows that having sources like that and sourcing information through books can be such a helpful way to gain creativity. Other than reading, I have a few other ways on how I prefer to source my information. The first one being Pinterest. This is an easy one, this is an obvious one, but I feel like I have to say it just because it is something that I use almost every day. And if you don't use Pinterest, you need to get on it. Pinterest is sometimes my Google search, and it makes me come up with so many ideas all the time. Like I said, I have so many private boards on everything, and business ideas and creativity ideas, hobby ideas, lifestyles that I want to have, and just creating those organized boards just gives me so much to work with. I know whenever I'm working with someone and I need to send them over like inspo, like I remember this happened a lot with my Ardennes collection or my En Route jewelry collection, they would say, send me over your Pinterest board, and I would have so many boards, and I'm like, girl, you don't understand. I've had these boards for years, and they would be almost a little bit overwhelmed by how much inspiration I had, but it was never not enough. I'll say that. Another big point that a lot of creatives talk about is in order to produce great art, you must consume great art. And by this, they mean watching amazing films and good movies, reading classic books, maybe books that are in the top charts, books that are relevant to society or like this day and age, going to art museums and seeing the art that is hung on the walls, maybe even going to museums and seeing beautiful sculptures. The reason for this is because when you consume so much art and good quality art, you are then able to decipher between what is good and what is bad. You're able to look at your own ideas and say, this is good, this is bad. It's kind of like you already have that filtering ability within yourself, and you'll be able to cut out all the bad stuff. An example that I can give you for this in my personal life is before I became a YouTuber, I consumed so much YouTube, and I watched all my favorite YouTubers, the YouTubers that had so many subscribers, and I could tell the difference when I would see a new YouTuber, whether they had that potential or they didn't. And that may sound so horrible, but I mean, you can tell when someone kind of has the ability or the skills, or you could see someone with like 10,000 subscribers and watch them and be like, damn, they're gonna blow up soon. Like, they have all of the aspects of what these mega influencers and YouTubers have. So when I started creating content on YouTube myself, I could kind of tell if my own videos and my own, I guess you could say, art was up to par with the people that I liked watching, or if it was kind of falling in the dust. So that was very helpful to me. And when I say I consumed a lot of YouTube, I mean that is all I did throughout middle school and high school. So when I started, I had a very good idea of the type of content that I wanted to make, and I had a standard for myself straight off the bat. In fact, someone even commented on my video today, and they were like, oh my god, I can't believe this video was from 3 years ago. The quality is so good. And that was only like a year and a half, or like 2 years, maybe even less than that, of when I started my YouTube account. And I genuinely think the quality of my videos were up to par from basically when I started posting, just because I had consumed so much of the most famous YouTubers at the time in my niche. Another example of a way that I do this, which is a little bit different, but for my podcast, I feel like I really wanted to be able to put myself in the shoes of a lot of different people, hear a lot of different perspectives, hear a lot of different opinions, be able to say stuff of value, just overall be able to provide interesting takes and different things from what I've already seen online. And for that reason, I feel like I really try to go out of my way to have stimulating conversations with the people around me. I kind of hate the word like deep combos because I feel like it sounds kind of stupid, but I feel like stimulating is a better way to put it. But by having a bunch of stimulating conversations and not just surface level conversations, I end up learning a lot more, and I'm able to use those deeper topics or those deeper perspectives or opinions into my podcast, so that I'm not just saying surface level stuff that I would have thought of before, if that makes sense. Another example of this is if you want to create music, you should consume a lot of great music, music that has been popular for so many years, music in history. To summarize that, other ways that I love to source inspiration is through having conversations with people, reading new books, watching videos like TED Talks, or honestly, I personally love watching TikToks, but like the TikToks where people are talking about their own opinions, I feel like I learn a lot like that and I get inspiration from that. The next sentence I'm about to explain, I don't know why I've tried to explain it like 5 times and I can't seem to get it out properly, but in the book The Creative Act, they talk about this concept of source coming through you and you being able to express your art. And the way they kind of talked about source, it was kind of saying that sometimes it feels like you were just given this wisdom and you don't even know why. And then when you actually make the art. It's source flowing through you. But I've definitely felt that before. They were saying, for example, sometimes an artist will put their pen on paper and they just know exactly what to draw and their art just like flourishes on the paper. That's source coming through them. Anyways, I can't seem to find the exact page in the book of what I'm trying to explain right now, but it was saying something about how if you want to gain information from source directly, sometimes creatives will go into a forest or go into the middle of the ocean and kind of be in silence. But another form of this may be if you are trying to gain source through collective consciousness, so you want to like come up with ideas that way, then it's helpful to be out in public looking at people, how they communicate, how they act, maybe being in a city with a lot of different people, so you kind of like gain inspiration that way. And I 100% can feel that. I feel like the more that I try to come up with inspiration and ideas for my podcast, it is very helpful for me to be surrounded by other people. It even says in the book here, material for our work surrounds us at every turn. It's woven into conversations, nature, chance encounters, and existing works of art. When looking for a solution to a creative problem, pay close attention to what's happening around you. Look for clues pointing to new methods or ways to further develop current ideas. So basically, he's talking about how if there was a writer in a coffee shop, he might listen to the people around him, and maybe a sentence kind of jumps out at him and he uses that in his work as a part of the next dialogue. Or the way that you could be reading a book and one sentence just really stands out to you and you feel the need to reread it. Those clues are out there, but you just have to be really in tune with the environment around you and look for those clues because they're always present around you, and there's so many different ways you can find inspiration that way. A good creative may really focus on what they notice but no one else sees. Speaking of being present in the moment and using your surroundings or even source to gain inspiration for your own creativity, a little quote or sentence that they kind of had in this book I wanted to read out to you because I thought it was so meaningful. I like really highlighted it, but it says, "Living life as an artist is a practice. You are either engaging in practice or not. It makes no sense to say that you're no good at it. It's like saying, I'm not good at being a monk. You are either living as a monk or you are not. We tend to think of the artist's work as the output, but the real work of the artist is the way of being in the world. So observing, the way you move, the way you talk, the way you gain clues, etc. The next thing I wanted to talk about is following through with the ideas that you get. If you are a creative person, I'm sure you are familiar with feeling like you have so many ideas, but you just don't actually execute them. And something that like haunts me literally is I read this quote one time and it was saying that it doesn't matter how many ideas you get, if you don't execute them, they mean nothing. And I think about that all the time because it's so true. You can have countless ideas, but they're just in your head. If you don't get to doing them before someone else will do them. And that just means that that idea was meant to come out at that time. And if it wasn't you, it was gonna be them. So when you have those ideas, you actually have to follow through with them to be that person that came up with it, to bring that idea to life in the way that only you can and the way that your voice can deliver it. In order to follow through with your ideas and your creative urges, you have to be your biggest fan. You have to be able to see what others don't see in your art and trust your gut, honestly. I've told this story a few times, but I remember when I started my YouTube channel, and I bring this up a lot because that is my biggest creative outlet, but when I started my YouTube channel, I created my videos and they felt very authentic to me because I spent so much time editing them. I really put my all into these videos. And when I posted them, I easily could have thought to myself, no one's gonna like this. This is embarrassing. People are gonna judge me. What are people gonna say? But what actually stopped me from giving into those thoughts were the fact that I loved the way my videos were created. I thought they were so good. And to be fair, I will still watch my videos 4 years later and think, baby Fern, you were killing it for that time. Anyways, my point of that is to say, at the time, I loved the way my videos were, so I didn't care if people were gonna judge me because I was a fan of my own work. I would literally watch my own videos and say, ah, girl, that was a good one. You have to be your own biggest fan. You need to follow through with the ideas that you have and build up your self-confidence in your creativity to be able to express it to the world and not care what people are gonna say about it. Nobody is gonna cheer you on for you, and you have to be your own biggest cheerleader. So that is a big thing to remember when you are going to start putting your creativity online. Especially if, and I feel like this could apply to YouTube, but you know, when you're starting to get sponsorships or you're starting to get a management or you're starting to build a team around you, you have to believe in what you're doing. Otherwise, how are you going to expect other people to believe in what you do? The same way that if you want to get paid a certain amount of money for the art that you create, you need to know the value it holds and why it is so uniquely yours and people should pay for what you provide. You need to value yourself enough to do something with your ideas and trust that what you are creating can only be done by you because it is so uniquely yours and authentic to what you truly want to create. I think another important rule with creativity, and if you're trying to put your art online or just put it out there, is to not be a perfectionist. Sometimes I struggle with this and I don't want to put stuff out unless I absolutely love it. But if it's going to hold you back from even getting started, you need to abolish all those rules that you give yourself, because again, creativity has no rules, but a lot of the times as an artist, you confine yourself to rules that you think there are, and it's only limiting you and only confining you. For the creatives that I feel like have difficulty finishing their art and like actually putting it out there, you can still give yourself some structure so that things actually get finished. I know sometimes if I don't give myself enough structure, I could keep working on something for so long. So deadlines to me are actually very helpful. And that's how I can say, like, by this day, you need to be finished. But I don't give myself actual rules for the art that I create, if that makes sense. Another tip for using your creativity to create art or to create whatever it is that you want to put out there in this world is to create what you wish existed. Again, for my YouTube videos, I remember when I was watching other people's content, it was good, but I always felt like I didn't even want to watch it anymore because I was like, why am I watching you? I should be doing this. And I always felt that little bit of jealousy and envy watching other people live out what I wanted. I remember when I started my channel, I knew exactly what I wanted my videos to be like, what I wanted the content to look like, and kind of what I wish other creators were doing, and that's what I made myself. I feel like that's a huge tip that people always give out, and it's just to create what you look for in the world, because if you're looking for it, there's a good chance that other people are looking for it too. Even for myself, I feel like this is a good exercise now that I am using my creativity as a job, is to often check in with myself and say, what do I actually want to see? What do I actually want? I know for my podcast, I remember thinking that my YouTube videos didn't have enough talking, and I wanted to give myself a space where it felt like a YouTube video, but it was very long and I could also listen to it without Wi-Fi, which is why I created my podcast kind of around the structure of making it feel like a YouTube video for the people that are watching it, but also being able to listen to it wherever you go, in the car, on your walk. And that was something that I was specifically looking for. I feel like now video podcasts are not that original and a lot of people have them. So there is that, but at the time when I started, like even a year ago, that was something that I was looking for myself. And also not only video podcasts, but video podcasts made by my favorite YouTubers that I was already invested in. If there is a product that you really want to buy and you're searching for it online, make your own and fill the gap. This could be in sculptures. Maybe there is something that you really want to have, but you don't want to buy it and you can make it yourself. This could be in a certain type of storybook that is conveying a message that is super personal to you and you don't feel like you have some other book like that to relate to it. Maybe you could be the creator of that and just think about all the people you could reach doing that. Or maybe there's an idea for a movie that you have and you're like, how has nobody made this movie yet? I think about this often. Sometimes I'll get an idea for a YouTube video, specifically in my case, but I'll get an idea and I'm like, how has nobody made this yet? Like, it's such a good idea. How has nobody made it yet? When that happens to you, it means that you're the person that's supposed to be making that idea. You're the person that's supposed to be bringing that to life. That's why you got the idea and nobody has done it before you. Recognize when you have those thoughts and think to yourself, I need to jump on this idea now before someone else does it before me. Although I will say, if someone does something that you were thinking of doing, just know if you don't copy them and you do it yourself and you just focus on your authentic way of delivering it, it will turn out differently just because you have such a different way of looking at life and such a different tone of voice. And, you know, just the way that you would uniquely do it is way different than them. The last thing I wanted to say before ending off this episode is that self-doubt is something that we all experience. And when you are creative, it's easy to doubt yourself, but you need to push past those negative thoughts and learn to turn them down in order to push out what your heart truly wants. It's normal to feel insecure. It's normal to have self-doubt, but taking away the pressure of it and remembering that this is something fun and that it is just an expression of something that you feel inside will make creating and pushing out what you do just so much more of a fun process. Honestly, at the end of the day, being creative is something that we all inherently have, and we don't need to be so serious about it. Anyways, I'm gonna end it off here because I've been talking for so long, but I hope that this video inspired you. And honestly, I'm feeling even inspired talking about this right now. I love being creative. I love using my creativity, and I truly think that everybody has their own creativity. Just some people use it more than others. And if you feel like you need to be more creative day to day, I've given you so many ideas on how you can do that. So if there's something that you've been thinking about doing, maybe a new hobby, maybe a new business, maybe a new passion, maybe you've just read a book on something and it gave you inspiration, use that inspiration to propel yourself forward and follow through with it. It is so much fun. It will give you so much fulfillment. And for something that's like very wholesome, I don't even know how to put it, is a lot of people, if you ask them like, oh, what field are you working in? And a lot of them say, oh, I'm in sales. And then you say, okay, what do you wish you could be doing if money didn't matter? And they'll always say something like, oh, I wish I could own a bakery and like bake cakes, or I wish I was a writer, and I wish I was a creator, I wish I was an artist. People always have that creative side to them, and a lot of the times you're not able to make that your career, and so you do something else. But I feel like that idea that a lot of people's inherent dreams are to do their creative passions just gives you the sign that we all have it within us. We all want to be doing something like that, and even if you're not making money off of it, it is so fun to have those as hobbies and to feel like your inner child is still there and you're doing what you always wanted to do. And if in the future you can monetize off of your hobby, even though there are some cons to that, that is also such a empowering skill. And it honestly feels really good to have other people recognize your own creativity and the art that you create as well. So anyways, I love you guys. Go be creative. This just made me want to go close this, go edit a video, go film something, go paint something, go draw something, go create something, and maybe touch grass, maybe stare outside. I don't know. Anyways, I love you guys. This was fun to film, and go use your creative energy.